All right, let's get started. Thank you all for coming in. It's really hard to do a wave with everybody so spread out. You should just kind of come in. Thanks for joining me today. My name is John Gallant. I'm a principal SDE on the developer experience team at Microsoft. Before this, I was engineering manager of Power BI Embedded, which is a service that allows you to embed a Power BI report into your own application. Before this, we had people hacking JavaScript to get this similar functionality. Don't really recommend it. They were kind of doing some screen scraping and so on to get the same functionality. We had a ton of requests to add this feature. We hired an entire team. I think I was employee one or two on this team. Set aside a bunch of people to come and build out this Power BI embedded feature. So I joined Power BI, I think, in October of last year. I hired roughly 30 people by January, which is a big, hard thing to do in such a short notice. But luckily, I knew a bunch of people that were looking at that time. So I hired a bunch of people, come and we built Power BI embedded. It was many, many nights and weekends to build this thing. We ordered dinner almost every night. If you saw my work-life balance talk, this is the flip side of that. This time was not about work-life balance. It was about shipping Power BI Embedded for the Build conference, which was on April Fool's Day this year. So it was a good experience. It was totally worth it. And then I left the team. because I was so burned out. Now I am helping people with Azure IoT. And because I have the Power BI experience and I was the engineering manager for the team, I like to come and talk to people about Power BI, and I use it all the time. So today is gonna be a very, very lax presentation of Power BI Embedded. I'm gonna touch on Power BI Custom Visuals and another new feature called Power BI Streaming Datasets. But the focus is going to be Power BI Embedded. So if you were at my talk this morning about Power BI, we spent a bunch of time talking about custom visuals. And I'm going to flip that and do Power BI Embedded and then custom visuals. This is just a slide about me having a dream job working at Microsoft, doing a lot of cool stuff in my current job lining up with a ton of my interests, and also Microsoft finding value in what I'm doing. I go in deeper into this in my work-life balance talk, which just got done, which will be on Channel 9 soon. So who has used Power BI here? All right. Who knows what Power BI is? How many are here in hopes that it'll be an easy session where you can just chill? Okay, that's just me. Okay, so Power BI is Microsoft's self-service, cloud-based BI service. Did I use service too many times in that description? So it's a website that allows you to point a visualization stack at a data source and visualize that data in any way you want to, right? And it's very common for developers to build reports in SSRS, right? And share those reports with the world. What we found is a growing number of people who aren't developers who want to experience Power BI or experience business intelligence, right? And they want to be able to share these reports and dashboards and so on. A very common example is to have a business scorecard that shows the metrics that you care about for your business on a dashboard, and you want to visit this dashboard on a regular basis. So as an example, our CEO, Satya, uses Power BI to monitor how each of his businesses are doing. And so because he does, that means that all of his managers do. That means that if something's wrong with Power BI, Satya's affected, right? I mean, customers are affected and more important than Satya, but the point is, when you're building a service like this that's used for mission-critical things like that, you have to do a good job, and you have to build it well. So I'm gonna give you kind of a quick, since not many people know Power BI, I'm just gonna show it real fast, just to give you some context. All right. Let's see. So if you go to bit.ly/PBI index, it's basically a website, it's a page of my blog, which is an aggregate sort of list of all of the things Power BI from a consumer's perspective and a developer's perspective. All right, so if we just go to powerbi.com, you'll see that you can create these compelling dashboards using your data source. And we have tons of different data sources. It could be SQL Server. It could be an RSS feed. It could be SQL Server reporting services. It could be any data source. It could be anything that's ODBC, basically. And anything that's accessible through the internet. We also support authentication to get that data. So you'll see here that Power BI has a bunch of resources and a bunch of connectors. So for example, if you have a GitHub repo, you can go to Power BI, connect to that GitHub repo as a content pack, import that into your Power BI instance, and you can see a number of commits to your repo, number of contributors, and things like that. And so the website is at app.powerbi.com. All right, and this work here. So you can see here, here's an example dashboard that allows you to view all the pertinent data to whatever you're working on. And it also supports things like drill downs and filtering. Right? So here's a filter that's affecting other parts of your page. And people are attracted to this because that's generally custom code if you want to do that type of interaction on a BI dashboard. And then what you can do is you can see all your dashboards here, right? Like I have a few, and you can load up a sample. So let's do that. So you go here into samples. You say customer profitability sample, and this is just a way to get familiar with Power BI and its capabilities. So there are three concepts. There's a data set, there's a report, and there's a dashboard. Okay. So your data set is your raw data, right? So here, these are the data sets that are built that you use to build up your reports. And so you can see here there's support for multiple tables in these fields. Right? And so on. What's included in your sample is default reports, so you can see how to interact with Power BI in these reports. You can also share that report as a dashboard. So you select the individual tiles from your report and you pin that to a dashboard. And so this is the dashboard that we just created. This was created by the sample. And so you could look at this as a scorecard for your business. And you could share this with the people that need to see this data. And you can drill down. So Power BI uses Power BI to manage the engineering process within Power BI. So we have bug stats, we have customer issues, we have build times, all of that stuff inside of Power BI. So it's a really, really cool way to use Power BI is to wire it up to any sort of data source and do whatever you need with it. Okay, so that's Power BI. Any questions so far?
Can you
say again?
Standard deviation and standard error bars.
I'm sorry, I heard standard deviation.
Yeah, can you show that on the bar graphs?
Oh, show the different method. Yeah, so what you do, so he's asking about can you, instead of just showing the value, can you show variations or calculations of that value, calculated field, and so on? Yeah, so if you go into your report, let's see, I think it was this one. And I think this is what you mean. You go into Edit Report, and you go into your data here, and you can, let's see, let's find a good number here. Oops. Okay, one second. So usually what happens is if you have an integer field, you'll be able to do things with that field. I'm not sure why it's not showing that right now. Let's see. So let me show that. I have it as part of my demo later. Let me show that. But basically what would happen is if you have a field that can be a calculated field, you'll have a drop down there. You say it supports sum, average, and a bunch of other functions. I think that's what you mean. If not, let's talk after. Any other questions? No? OK. So another product that we have is Power BI Desktop. Power BI Desktop is an app that you install on your local machine. And you connect to data sources and build up your report. And then you publish that to the web. It's a more rich interface than what you get on web. You can do custom queries. You can create data sets by hand and so on. So for example, if I have this dashboard, I can say, enter the data. I can say I want a value, and I want that to be 55, and I want my table to be called data. So this is just me showing that you can create a data set within Power BI Desktop. If y'all are familiar with Excel, we had Power Pivot, Power View, and so on, Power Query. Those features are now in Power BI Desktop, allows you to do stuff, whatever you need with your data. So then we have a way to get data, the same that we did on the web where we connected to a sample. You can open existing PBI and so on. But the big, the get data here, I'll show this. So as you can see, I talked about how do we connect to different data sources from Power BI. You do that through this get data interface. You can connect to Excel and any Azure service, SharePoint, pretty much anything that you would need, and plus ODBC drivers. And then if you don't have your connection, you basically email the Power BI team. You say, hey, I have this XYZ data store. How do I connect it to Power BI? And there's a team called the connectors team that just focuses on building those things for you, right? So we took the top, percentage of connectors, built those out, and there's a long tail of, infinite number of ways to connect to data. But we're always looking to add that. So let's say I create that data set, and I have a card here, and I want to visualize that data. What you'll see here is a bunch of canned or core visuals that are included with Power BI. So you have a bar chart with one value that's not too appealing. You have funnel charts, you have pie charts, and so on, right? So if you pick card, right, this is our PBIX file. We save it as PBI2. And then I publish it. So when I publish it, it'll probably ask me to, nope, didn't ask me to authenticate, that's okay. It cached my authentication from earlier. So I select the workspace. So we allow workspaces within Power BI so you can organize your reports better. So it is now live. So if I go out here onto Power BI, you'll see that I have this report. So let me just, it should have just popped up, but let me refresh. So you should now see a data set called data. And we don't see it. I might be in the wrong workspace. I have a few workspaces. Let's see. Yeah, so data set, and then we have this PBI2. So that's that data set I just created in Power BI Desktop, published it to the server, and now it's available on the server. And then you can create your own custom reports based on that. So I could say, hey, I want to do this other visual here. I want to save that as a report. Let's say PBI report. It'll save it as a report. And then what you can do is add everything that you need for your report here. And you can you yourself use this report. If you wanted to share with other people, you would share it through a dashboard. So if you pin this to a dashboard, I want to create a new dashboard and call this PBI dash. Right, and then I can share this with the world through email address. And they don't have to be part of your organization to share it with other people. Right. So we saw Power BI Desktop. We add custom data. We uploaded it to Power BI using the publish option. Any questions so far? What is the comparison between online version versus desktop? Mm-hmm. Yep. So the question was, when do I use desktop versus web? And when I first was introduced to Power BI, I didn't know desktop existed, right? So I went to the web, and I was like, hey, I want to write a custom query on top of my data. Can't do it. I'm like, this product is what's going on. And then I joined the team, and they're like, hey, check out desktop. So within desktop, what you can do is you can write custom queries on top of your data set and generate custom tables, right? And a lot of other things you can do as well, like people use it to, say, get data into the system and then massage the data. For example, if it's coming in as two columns and you want to concat, remove white space, do any kind of sort of calculations, you would do that in Power BI desktop. So think simple report dashboard creation in web, complex report creation in desktop. Yep. Yeah, that's a good question. So in Power BI desktop, you can direct query into a database, is what you're saying, right? And then on the web, you can also connect to the database. Right, yes. Yeah, there are restrictions on the amount of data that you can pull in, and it's a rolling cache of data. What you're saying is, can I not use SQL Server Analysis Services like it does today and just use my own custom database? Right? So you should be able to point to your own custom database, and you should be able to get your full data there. But if you create a data set within Analysis Services, I think you have that limitation, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's been a while since I've talked, but I can see me after and we'll talk about that. Basically, we're talking about restrictions on getting data in and how much data we can actually pull in. And we had that in our backlog, and I'll research it for you. Any other questions? Excellent. So back to PBI index. Where was that? Let's see. Okay, so we saw the web, we saw desktop. Some pretty cool stuff, right? Also have a mobile app. I believe we have Windows now. Windows, Android, iPhone. And it's actually cool because it has notifications in the app. So if the data changes, like let's say that 55% went to 54, and I wanted to be notified, I could do that through my mobile app, through the Power BI mobile app. You can also see all of your reports and dashboards that are on the web and in the mobile app. There's a gateway product that allows you to go from an on-prem data store that you have to Power BI. You basically connect Power BI to a proxy, which is a gateway. It connects to your on-prem data. It doesn't mean that Power BI supports pure disconnected on-prem. What that means is you can connect to on-prem data, but Power BI does not work on-prem. If you want on-prem visualization, you want to go with SSRS. There's also the data stories gallery. Which is basically a way to go and research ways that other people are using Power BI. There's some pretty compelling things over there. We have a visuals gallery too. If you go to GitHub Microsoft /Power BI visuals. This is not the JavaScript talk, although we will be doing JavaScript in a minute. No, you can stay. There'll be JavaScript. No, don't go. No. Okay. Wait, let me flash up some JavaScript. No. All right, so when I part of my job when I joined Power BI was to help with the community contributions into Power BI. So when I joined, there was the entire visualization stack is on GitHub, and they said, hey, we want to have more people contribute to this and make it better. So what we did is we came up with this new stack that allows you to build a custom visual on top of Power BI, right? So the cool thing is that you can visualize your data in any way that you want to using a custom visual, right? Which was my talk this morning, which is all about how to build a custom visual from scratch all the way to deploying it to a report and sharing it with other people. So you can actually just use these the Power BI visuals in your own app as is. You just connect to your own data source. That's all open source. If you go to visuals.powerbi.com, you'll see a gallery of custom visuals that the community has created. Right? And so you'll notice here, liquid fill gauge was created by myself, all by myself. Published it to the gallery last week for the talk this morning. And I'm going to bring you through quickly how I created that in a minute. But the idea is that you create a custom visual. And this was a liquid fill gauge. I'm in IoT, and I want to monitor like river level, or I want to monitor your propane tank. And so I thought this would be a really cool visualization to do so. I found it on GitHub. It was MIT licensed, which means I can use it. And I created a Power BI custom visual using that code with a few minor tweaks. So you can do that same thing. Using the project and the SDKs out on GitHub, you can create your own custom visualizations. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, all right, Bill Berry liked my tweet. For developers, let's get into that a little bit. So we have Power BI for consumers, right? Those are the people that are going to build reports, and it could be a developer as well, but it's somebody who is using Power BI as a consumer product, right? And then we have all the group of people that want to extend Power BI, and you can do that using the REST APIs. You can build your own custom visuals. You can create a custom content pack, like we saw the content pack at GitHub. You can create your own content pack to whatever service you want. You can use any of the SDKs that are on GitHub to call into these APIs. And everything is open. Everything is out there. There's a bunch of samples that allow you to extend Power BI. So Power BI for Developers is a site that is a good way. So Josh Kaplan was the PM on Power BI Embedded when I was on Power BI Embedded. Great guy, has some good overview videos on how to do Power BI Embedded, so check that out if you can. And all the resources for developers there, like how to do content packs, how to create a client app or a web app, or a REST, something on top of the REST API, and then extend through custom visuals. So all the stuff you need is dev.powerbi.com if you want to extend Power BI. So the main topic of today is Power BI Embedded, which is the product that allows you to create an Azure service to manage Power BI from your own application, right? So for example, if you have a SaaS product and you want to have visualization inside of that SaaS product, so for example, if you have an app that has multiple tenants and you want them each to have their own unique report inside of your app, you would use Power BI Embedded to share a visualization with that customer through basically embedding an iframe into your application. And the reason why we go through Azure is because we issue tokens to make it secure so that you can generate secure access to your reports, right? So we give you a key, you generate a token, that token has an expiration to it, so that in your SaaS product, you can call and get fresh reports and not have that stick around, and you can define your policies based on like what data shows up per user and how long that data shows up. Right? So an example of of that is, like, let's just say, experience Power BI right now. So this is Power BI embedded. Hopefully this works. Yeah. So this just kind of gives you an idea. This is a custom visual created by Microsoft and a customer to visualize the faults by engine part of this plane engine, right? So the cool thing is you can do selection on these visuals and cross-filter other parts of your visualizations. And so this Northwind Traders Engine Diagnostics is just some random sample company. It basically shows that you can embed an entire Power BI report inside of your application and not have too much of the heavy-handed, like, this is a Power BI report. It looks pretty plain Jane. You can see, if you were to know Power BI, you would see this theming down here and know that it's a Power BI report, but for all intents and purposes, it's going to just be that website. So here's another example of selection here on custom visuals that affects, you know, other parts of the page. Any questions on that? What Power BI embedded is? No? All right. Cool. Is there anything else we can talk about in the index? Let's take a look. I think we're good. Who wants to jump into Azure and create a Power BI embedded sample with me? No one. All right, let's go home. All right, so Azure. The thing I love most about this is that I can go to Azure and I can search for Power. I just love that. You click on Power BI embedded. And it says, here's all the coolness, goodness about Power BI embedded. You click create. You give it a name. You say Ignite to work. I'll just keep it short. Workspace collection. So you create a collection of workspaces, right? So you could imagine if you have your SaaS product could be, and we made this super flexible. Your SaaS product could be a collection workspace. A workspace collection. Each of your tenants could be an individual workspace. Or you could say, I want a workspace collection per tenant. Because what we didn't want to do is make it too rigid. We wanted to say, we'd have no idea how you're managing tenants. We want to say, you're going to have buckets. You're going to have a group of workspaces, and you're going to have a group of collections, and you can figure out how to manage that the best way for your app. So workspace collection is just a grouping of workspaces, and you upload your report to that workspace, okay? I'm going to... This is effectively a folder structure, but it's using the same terminology as the other... the consumer part of Power BI. So workspace collections and workspaces map to Power BI for consumer. That's why we did that. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit tricky, but once you get the hang of it, I think you're okay. Choose your, let's, we have an Australia. All right. Hope that doesn't offend anyone. So I'm clicking create. So this is creating the Azure service. Now remember, the Azure service is to give you keys that you use in your app, secure keys that you can rotate. We really wanted this to be part of Azure and use a standard like secure access token, secure access signature approach to authenticating with Azure services, just like you do with Event Hub and so on. And so that deployment is started. Deployment succeeded. So this brings you into your Power BI workspace collection. For all you hackers out there, we're going to actually expose my keys. Feel free to hack this. That would make this more interesting. So we have The Ignite Workspace collection, we have the subscription it belongs to, the resource group it belongs to, and we also have down here, you'll see access keys. Right. So you use this key inside of your app to authenticate with Power BI embedded. Okay. And you'll notice here, let me just copy this out. So that is my key. I'm going to have to regenerate that in a minute just so no one hacks it. Workspace. So workspaces are is the subfolder, think about it, as the workspace collection. And you're going to want to create that workspace here. So V1 does not allow you to do that through the UI. We can just manage workspace collections and access keys. So we created this sample that is you get from bit.ly/pbie, and I have that in the slides so you can reference it later. It's basically a GitHub project that allows you to provision a workspace to a workspace collection so you can get that workspace ID and then upload reports to it. So here, if I just run this, if I say debug, start new instance, it's going to start a little console app here. What do you want to do? So from here, we could have provisioned a new workspace collection. We could get the workspace collection metadata from our account. We can retrieve the API keys. We can get a list of the workspaces. Or we can provision a new workspace in the existing workspace collection. Right. So this is a stopgap in between dates and pressure to ship for April 1st and a sample that allows you to do the things that are supposed to be in the Azure product, right? So it's 6 months later, and it's still not in the product. But I think they're working on it. But this is a handy little tool to help you manage. So if you want to provision a workspace, you say F5, and we did Ignite 2, is that what we said? Ignite 2 WC. So that's our workspace collection name, our access key. Copy that, paste that in there. All right, so now we have a workspace ID that we can upload reports to. So if you go back here and you refresh, you should now see that workspace inside of the workspace collection. It's there, trust me, we'll go back. I can't blame it on the Wi-Fi because I have Ethernet, so that might just be a slowness and, okay, there we go. Okay, so that should be the same ID, 07C, yeah. So now we can see the GUIDs there in the workspace GUIDs inside of the Azure portal. Now what we wanna do is how Power BI Embed works is you upload a report to a workspace collection, and then you upload a report to a workspace, and then you use those IDs when you embed it in your website. And we have SDKs and wrappers to make it much easier, right? So you go to your back to the console app here. We say, okay, we have the workspace ID. Let's just copy that just to make sure that we got it. Right, that's our workspace ID that we want to upload a PBIX to. And let's just take, I think we can just take the same PBIX that we used before. So here we go. So it's ctemp ignite. So what we're going to do is we're going to choose option 6, which is import the PBIX. So we're going to say data set name is data 2, file path c. Temp ignite, PBI2, PBI2.PBIX. So this is, cannot find the file, ctemp ignite. Okay, we'll try that again. Data set name, data2, temp ignite pbi2.pbx. Is that because we have it open? Okay, let's try it again. Is that font big enough for you guys? Who thinks it's going to work this time? All right. So what it's saying is the import state succeeded. I now have an import ID. Right? So now let's review. So we created, inside of Azure, we created a workspace, Power BI. We searched for Power. We created a workspace collection. We got the access key. We went to bit.ly/pbie. We downloaded a sample code to create the workspace. And then we uploaded the PBIX, which is the desktop file, to Power BI Embedded. Okay, so now what we need to do is get that sample inside of a website, right? So how do we do that? Well, we use the SDKs that we created. And we have SDKs in JavaScript and C#, and JavaScript includes Node. We have an Angular sample, and I think we now have an Ember sample. So pretty straightforward. You go here into this embed sample, which right now is a C# application. And we set up some configs. So we say, what is the workspace collection name? It's a workspace ID, the access key, and the API URI. And then we use the SDK to say, get me the token used to communicate with the service based on the access key. And under the covers, what's that doing? It is generating a SAS token to allow temporary access to your Power BI assets. And then you're going to say, create this new Power BI client. You're going to pass it that token. And then you're going to get all the reports for that workspace ID. So it should show that PBI2 report in this website when I run it. Okay. So let's go here into webconfig and set our values. Yeah, you had a question? Yes, you do want to have some server component. That way you don't have your access key in JavaScript. Yeah. The question was, why do you have a backend service? Is that to protect your keys? And the answer is yes. So whenever you have a client application, like let's say a SPA or an AngularJS app, you don't want to take your access keys and put that in JavaScript, because then I could just F12 get your key and take over your system. So you need some sort of backend server. In this case, it's an MVC app with a web config. Very hard to crack that web config and get that key out of it. You notice I say it's not impossible. Very hard to. So what I say is, it could be Node, it could be Java, it could be anything. It just has to be some endpoint that can securely store that access token. So if you have the access key here, this is the access key that I used, right? Created with that workspace. I'm going to delete all of this. And I keep the API URI the same. If you were a beta tester, or if you're on the Power BI embedded team, you would update this URL to point to staging or UAD or some other environment. The collection name was ignite2wc, I believe. Ignite2wc, yep. And the workspace ID, that's also from here. There we go. So you're saying, here's the access key to my Azure Power BI embedded service. Here's the API that I want to call to get the reports. Here's my workspace collection name, and here's my ID. So when we run this, it should just work. We shall see. So we basically wanted to provide as many samples as possible, because we wanted to make it secure as possible and provide as many samples as possible. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you
I'm sorry? Can you use HTML? Oh, can you use HTML to, in Power BI Embedded? Well, okay, so you would use HTML to do the iframe embed. So you would say, iframe, embed this Power BI into my app, right? But you would need some backend to store your keys. You can't just do it in pure HTML because you have to call some service that is hiding your keys from the browser, right? So yes, HTML is involved, but not just HTML. Make sense? All right, so we called that report data 2. You'll notice in our sample app over here in the navigation we had data 2, and it should show that card with 55 if we're lucky. Bam. Right. So what this is showing is a custom app that you can get on GitHub that shows you how to use Power BI Embedded in your own app. And this is the report. That's what it looks like here. You'll have filters. And we just released a new JavaScript API that allows you to do your own type of filtering. So if you embed using Power BI Embedded, you can have your own sort of filtering, checkboxes, dropdowns, whatever it may be in your own custom app. And then you can filter out your PBI report. So it's like cross iframe communication SDK. We won't get into now. You're good. Use the streaming data set in Power BI Embedded? Not currently. But I am talking with the team every day about that because I care about that for IoT, right? So right now, you have direct query. You have inbuilt data set into the PBIX for Power BI Embedded. But I personally, now that I'm focused on IoT, care about near real-time data. And so that's definitely on the backlog, and I'm communicating with the team. Basically, the question was, does it support real-time or near real-time refresh using a stream of data set? They're working on it, not quite yet. Yeah. Any questions? So licensing of Power BI Embedded. What you do is you pay for Power BI as an Azure service for Power BI Embedded. So a consumer would get a free account, and it's basic, like I can view a report, I can view a dashboard, I can log into the system. But as soon as you get into the complex things like grouping of assets, permissions, things like that, then you'll need a Power BI Pro account, which is $10 a month per user. And then for Power BI Embedded, it's a separate service that you sign up for as an so it's mainly targeted ISVs, like independent software, you know, developers, that would create a product using Power BI Embedded. So as an ISV, you would sign up for Power BI Embedded through Azure, just like we did, and then you pay for that as an Azure service. And I believe it is by render. So you pay, it's by session. When I left the team, it was per render, and they changed it apparently to by session. So what that means is it's simplified the billing model. Before you would have to monitor how many visuals per report, right? And now it's just all lumped in into one. It's a good question. Power BI Embedded is definitely not free. It is, it's free up to 1,000. That's all in public information. If you have any questions, feel free to ping me. Yeah. So the idea is that you don't build all of this rich visualization using your developers. You use Power BI, and then you pay to use it as an Azure service. You, in turn, charge your customers to use your product that covers this Power BI Embedded functionality, right? Yeah. So we have some time. So if anybody is, it's 5 o'clock. We can do more questions, or we can talk about more stuff. We can talk about the streaming data sets. We can talk about custom viz. Does anybody have a preference? Streaming? I heard streaming a couple times. All right. And if anybody needs to go, that's totally fine too. I'm kind of done for the day too. Well, I'm going to keep going. So if you have to go, that's cool. So streaming data sets, basically, and this was in the backlog when I joined last October. So I'm pretty passionate about it because I'm focused on IoT these days. And with IoT, we want real-time data, but we're never going to get it. So we settle for near real-time. And so with the streaming data set, what you can do is you can post to an HTTP endpoint a JSON object, and that directly goes into Power BI. And the way that they do that is they embed a token, actually a key, in the URL. And so you have this big, long, nasty URL that you post to, and Power BI will update that in real time. Can we keep the doors closed, please? Thank you. I just don't want to be fighting over that noise. So let's take a quick look. Thank you much. So app.power BI. So what we're going to do is go into this new, brand new section down here. Let me try and zoom in a bit. Oh, that's the other one. Okay, there we go. So down here under data sets, we have this special category called streaming data sets. What that allows you to do is to, in browser, define your data set like we did in Power BI. We defined the data set within Power BI desktop. You can do that here on the front end, but what this allows you to do is post data directly to it. So if we go here and we say new streaming data set, and you can say, I want this data to be populated from a PubNub endpoint, which is a near real-time integration service, external service to Power BI. You can configure that. So you say you send all your IoT data to PubNub, and then you configure PubNub to send the data to Power BI. I'm going to choose API, and that just gives you a REST endpoint to send your data to. So data set name, let's go with John G. And we'll do value. So value can be a number. This looks better on better resolution. But basically, you're saying, here's the data set name. Here are the values that I want. And you can select number, text, or date time. And then it gives you a sample JSON of what you would post to this endpoint. And this value in double quotes, 98.6 as a numeric value. Because I selected number. If you use text and date time, it'll give you a sample. So let's just do number. Historical data analysis allows you to do more complex reports on this data. I always select on just because it's a toggle. I'm still not clear exactly sure what that will give us, but what it allows me to do is create and use this in with custom visuals. So turning that off means no custom visuals. Turning it on means custom visuals, so I do on. So that gives you this, like I said, this nasty long URL that you post to, and you have a value. So what I'm going to do real quick is copy this. We're going to see. Hopefully this works in real time. It did on my other demo. We'll see how it's going today. Because streaming data sets it's public, but it's not globally available or generally available. It's in a beta state. Yeah. No, it's available to anyone. What's that? No. Okay. And then this is our sample JSON that we want to post to it. So here's the URL. Here's the JSON that we're going to post to it. So let's just go and do this. Let's get, so we see this here, John G, right? We can create a report based on that streaming data set. And I'm going to import a custom visual. This is going to be my liquid fill gauge custom visual that I built this morning in the morning session. It's all available at bit.ly. So bit.ly/pbi-custom-viz will bring you through on how I created this. I basically took an open source visual and converted it into a Power BI custom visual. So you'll see that here, liquid fill gauge. I'm going to select the value. It doesn't render anything right now because we haven't posted any data to it. So what I'm going to do is to get that live support, live rendering support, I'm going to create a report. I'm going to call it John G report. And that opens the report, and I'm going to pin that to a dashboard. John G dash. All right, so let's find John G dash. Here we go. So that custom viz is there. It's not visible yet because we haven't posted any data to it. So let's see how fast this is. If it doesn't appear right away, then I'm in trouble. We should be able to use this Chrome plugin here to post JSON data to it. And let's post a value of 1. So we got a 200. And we have that custom visual here. So it's near real time, folks. We're not talking real time. We're talking, I think it's, well, let's count. Let's get 1, 2, 3. So in most cases, it's good enough, right? In some IoT cases, you need to see instant data. And this is the fastest way to get live streaming data to Power BI. So that's how it's set up. Any questions with that? No? Yeah. I can't hear you. Can you speak up? Oh, can you add more columns? Yeah, absolutely. Go back here and you say, edit this guy. And you add more, so you could say value, you know, some random data. It's text. And that will update your JSON. So then from then on out, you would post, you know. And it'll be backwards compatible to it if you don't, you know, change anything, delete fields. So any additions will be supported. So I could just post in value and it should work. But now value and data will work. What? No nesting. No. Nope. It's a great question. Like, I want nested JSON objects in that data, but I'm okay with this because I can flatten before I push to Power BI. Yeah. Yep. What else do you guys want to see? All right. Sorry. Oh yeah. So the question is, can I just get one widget versus an entire report or dashboard? The answer right now is no, but very soon we'll be able to do that. Yeah. Yep. So we're calling that SaaS embed, which is a really weird name, but from the consumer product, you'll be able to take a visualization and embed that into whatever app you want. From embedded, I think we're going to stick to reports from embedded, yeah. But you could take the custom visuals that are open source and wire it up to your custom data backend, but it's kind of hackery, yeah. So do you want to see more embedded capabilities? What do you guys want to see? This is a la carte Power BI embedded. Oh, yeah. Power BI embedded custom visuals? Yeah, you can do Power BI custom visual, yep. So you can create a custom visual, Power BI custom visual, and use it in Power BI embedded. Yeah. No, just works. Yep, I actually found a bug over the weekend as I was prepping for this in my earlier talk, where it doesn't work on the GitHub public sample right now, but they're fixing it, you know, overnight, and it should be ready soon. I kind of made a stink about it, so. That's my new job. I get to make stinks about things. Yeah, go ahead.
Is there a way to save filters
on the dashboard? Yep. So the question is, can I set any filters on the report inside of Power BI embedded? And yes, you can. Through the JavaScript API is the best way to do that. Yep, so I showed the MVC embedded example. The new JavaScript API has a whole filtering capability, which is a whole other talk. I probably will develop a talk on that. Yes, you can interact with, yep, through JavaScript into the embedded report. Yeah. Yeah. So the question was, can I link to reports that are embedded inside of my app? And the question is, with the new JavaScript API, you can do cross-report communication. Yep. It just uses standard message back and forth, window messages back and forth, yeah. But it's wrapped up nicely in a JavaScript API. Yeah. So that same filtering capability allows you to communicate cross-visuals. Yeah. That was just released, I think, a couple weeks ago. So, yeah. Any other questions? I'll be here for a while, but thanks for coming. I appreciate you guys spending the time with me. Thanks. Yeah.
I use, because a lot of the time, I want to show a graph, but with the graph, I might have like HTML, with like drop down busts or something that
you
can interact with.
Yeah.
Is there any way of, I was just looking for something, CSS, and if you haven't seen that in Visual Studio.
Yeah.